Keith Flamen joins us. A rare Monday home game for the Oil Kings tonight. Usually this only happens if it's a tiebreaker or the playoffs.
Yeah, or hockey hooky. That's about it. We had one a couple weeks ago on a Monday afternoon. But, yeah, kind of a rare thing to do on a Monday night here in Edmonton.
Well, the Blades and the Oil Kings. Now, the Blades went into a, they had a little bit of a stretch there where they're on fire, and then maybe came down to earth a little bit. They got spanked by Brandon, although Brandon has been spanking everybody for fun here the last 10 days. Their offense is just ridiculous. The Oil Kings, Guy, a tough Friday night game. They're leading 4-3 with a minute and a half to go, and then they have losing the game, and they don't even get to overtime.
Yeah, it was real tough, just the collapse at the end, and you got to give the opposition credit. Medicine Hat stuck with it and kept pushing and pushing at the end. And they got a goal that I think the goaltender for Edmonton, Peyton Lee, that night would agree he kind of misplayed. It ended up bouncing off his own stick. It was a shot that was supposed to go through the crease to an open man on the other side. Ended up hitting his stick and then in through his legs. So, obviously, that's a disappointing one. And it just got away from him for whatever reason. Medicine Hat just dominates the Oil Kings. It was a six-game sweep for the Tigers this year. So just not a matchup that the Oil Kings want moving forward. And unless there's a playoff, a single-game playoff, they won't see the Tigers again this year. And for Edmonton, that's a good thing.
If there is a single-game playoff, yeah, I believe that would be played in Medicine Hat just based on the regular season, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
How much scoreboard watching? I know the Oil Kings might not admit it, but their magic number is 8, and the Tigers did lose to Swift Current over the weekend, so it was a good result. But how much scoreboard watching do you think the Oil Kings are going to be doing down the stretch?
Yeah, I'm sure they are. You ask them, they're looking more at trying to track down Regina, but the Pats have a 9-point lead on them, and Medicine Hat's only 4 points behind, and Saskatoon and Swift Current, who are not that far behind Medicine Hat, are closer to Edmonton than they are to Regina. So I think, you know, they say the right things. They're looking at the team ahead of them and chasing them down and worrying about how they're playing and not necessarily the teams behind them. But I think they're probably looking over their shoulder a bit, too.
Guy Flamen joins us, host of the Pipeline Show. The Oil Kings in action tonight, taking on the Saskatoon Blades. Over the course of the season, Guy, we've seen the Oil Kings explode for offense, and we've seen them have a lot of offense kind of explode on them. So down the stretch, what's going to be more important for the Oil Kings? Is it going to be scoring goals or keeping the puck out of the net?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, can you hedge your bet and sit on the fence and say both? Because goaltending hasn't been great over the last month. And even though they've had some scoring, I mean, they scored enough to win on Friday. They didn't. And, you know, you don't want to pin it all on one guy, but goaltending has been an issue for this team the last couple of weeks, whether it's Patrick Day or Peyton Lee. So the goaltending has to be sharper, and that means they're going to have to do a better job keeping the puck out of their net. But at the same time, when they get to the playoffs, they're going to be playing either Brandon or Lethbridge, assuming they get to the playoffs, and they're going to need that scoring to step up. So really, neither one of those facets of the game can betray them down the stretch.
Guy, you know, you mentioned looking ahead. The Oil Kings, let's be honest, they should be looking behind them. They're 9 points behind Regina with 7 games to go. Virtually impossible to catch them. Medicine Hat is 4 back, and the game in hand is made up tonight for the Oil Kings. If they win it, they got a 6-point lead with 6 games to go, which is, you know, much more favorable than only a 4-point lead. Like, this is a huge game, and the Saskatoon Blades are a team that, you know, has won 6 of their last 10. They've been a much better team lately. Some young guys starting to play a little bit better. You know, this is a huge game for the Oil Kings, I would think, mentally more than anything.
It's huge, and you look at the rest of Edmonton's schedule, there aren't any easy games. They have Kootenay still on the schedule, and it's the team dead last in the conference, in the league. So you should be able to beat that club. But Medicine Hat was below them in the standings. Saskatoon's below them in the standings. Those are the teams you really have to put away. They didn't do it on Friday, and that makes this tonight's game even more important, as you said, Jason, with a team like Saskatoon that's been playing some decent hockey in stretches. They're hot and cold. As you pointed out, they were blown out by Brandon, but Brandon's doing that to everybody right now. Edmonton has to win this game tonight. There's no two ways about it.
Do you look at, you know, Lethbridge? They've only got a 3-point lead now on the Red Deer Rebels. I haven't had a chance to break down the schedule or not, but do you think the Rebels can catch the Hurricanes?
Well, they can. They've got Connor Bleakley back now, and I believe Luke Philp is expected to be back here right away. He came back for a few games, then was out again. But I'm told he's not going to be a big issue, health-wise concern. Goaltending, obviously, is a concern for Red Deer. They lost Ryland Toth, who's their starting netminder, and won't have him back in time for the end of the regular season and into the playoffs. So they're relying on their backup netminder, and can they do that and still catch Lethbridge? It's possible, but unlikely in my mind. I think Lethbridge, now they have Giorgio Estefan back in the lineup as well, so they're getting healthy, and I think they're going to go on a bit of a run. So I do think it's going to finish the way it is in the central standings right now, with Lethbridge, Redcliffe, and then Calgary.
Brandon has really heated up. I saw them dominate the Moose Jaw Warriors. They spanked the Regina Pats. You know, they crushed the Saskatoon Blades lately. Some people were wondering if they had a good enough blue line. Like, Provorov, to me, is the best player in the WHL in my books. But I look at their team now, and they've got so much offense. Who do you think, you know, matches up best to possibly knock them off come playoff time?
They need to go up against a team that can carry the play as well as Brandon can. And Lethbridge can do that. I think Red Deer can when they're healthy. The Rebels, though, without their starting netminder, that's a huge detriment to them. So I think right now I would suggest Lethbridge is the only team in the conference that I would put as a serious challenger for the Brandon Wheat Kings at the moment. And, you know, I'm not going to give Regina much of a chance against them in the first round, but that's a team that has gotten some goaltending performances this year in timely games, and their offense has been coming around. But just the way Brandon handled them on the weekend, it doesn't look like a fair matchup to Regina. So for me, Lethbridge is probably the closest team that Brandon has in them when it comes to giving them a tough time in the playoffs.
Looking quickly, Guy, out to the Western Conference, Victoria Royals, I've talked to a few people. They think they're the best team they've seen. Do you agree, or have you seen a team better?
They were fantastic when they came through town, and Corey said the same when they were out to see Victoria and play on the island about a month ago, that the Victorias looked really good. And so when they came through town, I wasn't surprised to see them just dominate the Oil Kings. And you know, they've got a 5-point gap now on the Kelowna Rockets. The Rockets have a couple games in hand, but that is, I have to give Dave Lowry a ton of credit, because that team has been reworked from last year. Last year they had a very aggressive and offensive powered team, but aggressive guys like Greg Chase and Brandon McGee, who are in your face type of players, and maybe a little undisciplined, but offensive guys. This year, they're younger, they're still offensive, but they're not. They don't play the same sort of risk when it comes to discipline. They're not a disciplinary team where they're taking a lot of penalties. They're just very structured and very, very good. Their power play is tremendous, and young guys like Matt Phillips, who have come in as a rookie, a 17-year-old rookie, undersized, is fantastic. He is a terrific hockey player. Victoria is very good. That's probably the best team I've seen come through Rexall Place this year. Even when we've seen the Brandon Wheat Kings come in, Edmonton's played pretty well against Brandon. So I would have to agree with Corey when he's told me that Victoria's the best team he's seen. I would have to agree.
If you had a vote, who is your vote for league MVP and then coach of the year?
Coach of the year is a no-brainer to me. It's Brent Kissio with the Lethbridge Hurricanes, and they should get the GM of the year award as well. I think Peter Anholt and Brent Kissio have done an amazing job with the Hurricanes, taking them from near the last place last year into one of the top teams in the league. And for an MVP, boy, you could make a pretty good case for Matt Barzal out in Seattle. Boy, that's a tough one, because there's a lot of viable candidates this year. I think Provorov, as you mentioned, is probably the best defenseman in the league. So it'd probably come down to one of those two in my mind. Why? Who steps up for you?
Well, MVP is always tough, because to me, I prefer it to just be who's the best player.
Sure.
Right? I'm because when we have to get into, well, who's more valuable to their team, we're really just projecting because we don't really know. Right? I look at guys when you have like Dryden Hunt, what he's done in Moose Jaw, when you've got 52 goals and, you know, the next highest guy is Horluck with 40. Granted, he's played fewer games. You know, that's a guy who I think gets some definitely some top notch. Barzal, obviously 84 points in only 54 games. You know, Braden Point has 80 points in 42 games. I'm just not sure either one's played enough games to be the MVP. Right? Like, now I understand in the case of, you know, Barzal and Point, they missed a few of those games due to the World Juniors, of course, right? So that's part of it. But the other guy, and you know, is what Adam Brooks has done, and even Braden Burke in Lethbridge, right? Those are guys. But if I had to pick, and I'm probably biased because of goal scoring, I would look at Barzal, but Dryden Hunt, I'd get a long look at. My only negative to him is he's a 20-year-old, right? And I think that as 20-year-old, you probably should be dominating more than as 18.
Yeah, well, and then you've got Adam Brooks and Braden Burke. You mentioned both of them over 100 points as well. But they're all three of them on quality teams. I wonder if you could go the other direction and look at a goalie and just with what Carter Hart has done in Everett. Now, albeit they play on a very, very defensive sound team, but he's played 60 games this year, and that's pretty remarkable as well. So, but I think all the players that we've just mentioned are guys who would be on the short list for consideration.
Flamer, the pregame show gets going in around less than 4 hours, as the Oil Kings and the Saskatoon Blades on a rare Monday evening game at Rexall play a huge game for the Oil Kings to try to give themselves some breathing room with only six games left after tonight. Guy, thanks for your time.
Hey, no problem, Jason. Thanks for this.